applause that he has for everything that's here today.
Good morning.
I'm here to speak with the Gabians. The Pastor Joe said I could have an hour or a
go
few
ahead.
Minutes.
Go ahead, take it out.
Anyway, my name's Leonard Smith. I'm with the Jeff Davis, a Cape Parish, and the National Gideons Association. I'd like to thank Pastor Joe for giving me a few minutes to tell you stuff about the Gideons and what we do as an organization. In opening, I'd like to read out of Isaiah 55 and 11. It says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I send it.
Amen.
And you might ask, who are the Gideons? We're Christian business and professional men, and where an extended, it's churches, an extended missionary arm of churches like this. That churches like this that give us a chance to buy Bibles and distribute them all over the world. The Gideons are in 200 different countries.
Try one,
and 99 different languages.
Change it back to 11.
And these are some of the Bibles we distribute.
Now change it back to
11. These are the hotel Bibles. These Bibles are $5. They have a lifespan of 6 years and the potential to reach 2,300 people. And every couple of years, the Gideons will go around and check the motels and hotels to see if, because some people take the Bibles and bring them home. I don't call it stealing, I call it relocating.
Amen.
So, we go every couple of years and replace them. And these are the ones, the New Testaments, that we give to the schools, the fifth graders. In Vermilion, we're not capable of doing that because the school board won't let us pass them out in the schools. And and Jeff Davis in Acadia, we can go. And these are $1.25. That's less than a large cup of coffee. A large cup of coffee is $1.75. Kaplan. So every time I drink a cup of coffee, I think I could have bought another Bible. And these are the ones we give to the military. And we can't do that anymore either. And they blackballed us from the military. Military, I don't think you can use the name of Jesus anymore. So, but these are the ones that we used to give to the military. And I always pray, Lord, let me have one that somebody signed. And I know most of y'all know Jeremy Absher. He goes to church at Faith Christian. And one day he just walked up to me and he said, Mr. Leonard, the Lord spoke to me and told me to give you this Bible. He had signed it July the 13th, 1998. He had got this when he went into the military. And he said, one day I was just reading it, and he said, I got saved. And he dated it, and he had it for years, and he just come up and gave it to me. I said, thank you, Lord, for giving me one. So we had the Gideons this year went over 2 billion, not million, billions Bibles that we've distributed. And I'll tell you, the Gideons were founded in July the 1st, 1898. Two men were traveling salesmen, and they just happened to have to stay in the same motel room. Back then, they traveled by train. And that was 7 years before the Model T, or 8 years before the Model T ever hit the road. So they would travel by train, and they'd stay in the hotel. And the hotel was so full that they had to stay, these two men had to stay together in the same room.
Changed.
And one of them said, I'm a Christian. Before I go to bed at night, I'm praying. The other one said, well, I am too. And they got to talking and about how they could get Bibles in hotels. So they came up, and they had another meeting. There was, at the time, there were just 42 states, and the street lights were just starting to come up in your town. And back then, a newspaper was a penny. And it says the ads in the newspapers were about AMP and FW Woolworth. Both of them now default. I mean, they're no more in business. And it says the Model T was still 8 years away from hitting the road. They met and they couldn't, there's three, another man came in and they couldn't agree on the name to put give to the organization, so they just started praying silently. And all of a sudden, one of them spoke up. He said, "We're calling the Gideons out of the Book of Judges." So that's what they gave the name. And their first September the 1st, four additional men showed up for a meeting. These were camp. The first camp was in Chicago in 1900, September 29th. In 1903, membership was 3,208. Men. Annual dues were $2. Now it's $60. But we pay them, you know. And they considered putting Bibles in bedrooms of the hotels in America. The first Bibles, 25 of them, were placed in the Superior Hotel in Superior, Montana. In 1909, 1,992 paid members at the time. And back then, the Bibles placed were 5,774 Bibles. Right now, we've distributed, this year, we went over 2 billion Bibles. It took, the first billion Bibles took 93 years to distribute. The second billion, it was attained in less than 14 years. And they're saying that in the next 10 years, we'll go over 3 billion. If ever they can open China up to us, where we can just freely go, that right there will take 500 million Bibles. There's plenty of countries asking us right now for Bibles, but it takes money. You know, people say we all go beg for money. I'm sorry, I don't know if you want to call it begging, but we ask for it, and it takes Bibles. And I'm proud to say this church supports the giving. I'm proud. Because we have a part, like Pastor Joe said, what we give to family life, I mean the church in Baton Rouge, this helps. They put Bibles all over. I heard the other day what they had done. It was a huge amount of the Bibles right there. And we watch Jimmy Swaggart all the time. I love it. But this church also supports the giving. And so this puts us and people that are getting saved through these Bibles. And I know there is. We get a youth thing every month. Different testimonies. And people have got saved through receiving God's word. And I just enjoy going to churches and speaking. I joined the Gideons. I guess I've been a Gideon speaker now about 10 years. And so I'm proud to. And by the way, here there's no expenses. But when I travel, I've been to Fort Polk, the other side of Baton Rouge, everything, every penny that we get for these Bibles, that goes for buying Bibles. As a Gideon, I have to pay my own motel, food. Anything that we spend as a Gideon, it comes out of my pocket. Nobody, all the money that we receive, go for the Gideon. So I thank you this morning, and God bless you.
Why don't you stretch forth your hand this way? Let's pray for you. Father, Lord, we just come before you. And Lord God, I pray that you would keep this mission going, Lord God, till you come again. Father, give them the Bibles that are needed into every home or every school, Lord God, every hotel, all these areas, Lord God, and give them new vision, new dreams of getting into new places. Father, we pray that you would open up these places, open up new churches unto them, Lord God, that would even surprise him that they're opening up. In Jesus' name, Father, the Holy Spirit to rest upon him as he speaks for the Gideons. We thank you for this organization, that it has gone forth to bring the Word of God unto this world. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. You know, I heard a statement, and I'm going to mention it here. And the statement is this: no Bible, no freedom. Listen, no Bible, no freedom. Much Bible, much freedom.
Amen.
And that's the truth. That's why America has been blessed so much, because you can look at all, I've never been to Washington, but I've talked to people, and you can see on the internet, but you look at all these monuments dating back to the beginning of time till recently, they've diverted from it. But all of them have scripture, have the Word of God on it. Much Bible, much freedom. No or left or no Bible, no freedom. So you see, thank you, Gideon, for standing in with the Gideons. You know, as a church, we do support the Gideons every month. We send them $50 each month. I want to be a part of that just to get the Word of God out. You might say, you know, are we picking up an offering today? No, we're not. We are going to write them a check, though, just to let you know, for $200. You might say, well, why aren't you picking up an offering? Because I don't like to tax you or to do that more than what you've given already with your tithe and offerings. And so I always try to limit that. But we just give out of what we have already. But I want you to know you are a part of that. But if you ever want to give to the Gideons, you can. Just talk to Leonard and you can support them just by yourself on a regular basis. You know, it's a great organization. And no pastors can be a part of it. It's only lay men that are in churches that can go and be a part of that. And like he said, it costs them. Wherever they go, it costs their gas, their time. If you have to stay overnight, whatever, food, whatever. And the Gideons as an organization does not pay for it. So all the money that is given, basically probably about 95%, goes into buying Bibles, because you do have cost of, the main office. There's things that they got to buy, you know, to keep operations going. So about probably 90% of it goes into actual, I think, would be Bible. So if you ever want to support that, which you do because of your tithe and offerings to this church every month. So praise God. Thank you, Leonard, for being a part of that. And I appreciate that. Thank you.
It's recording too.
It's already recording.
Three and four. Amen. Well, praise God.
Give it a minute.
It's good to see everyone. If I hadn't been able to talk to you, it's good to have you. Miss Eva, Telly, and Rita. Good to see everyone. How's Cindy doing?
Sleep.
Okay, I know she's doing.
Getting on. I brought her. And I wanted to tell you the big girl signs that she's going back this week for 15 days of
Okay. So one of them has grown a little bit. Did they say about how much? Or
did
they...
Okay.
So we need to continue to pray for her. Amen. And Leslie, how old was your group yesterday?
Yes.
How did that go?
Oh, it's fine. Good.
It's going good with the kids.
Because
we support her. They're part of our church. Mm-hmm. She has a group
there's
that
actually beer
Saturday
wash. You can get a beer and wash that you can get to help with that.
Because
your beard is different from your hair appearance, so it actually, you should put something different. Special for the beard.
God's gonna bless you, and God's gonna honor, and God's gonna open up things for you. And praise God. So you see, we are a part of that. We support, we give Bibles and all kinds of stuff.
Yes.
So, you know, just to let you know, those are outreaches that we have that are going forth. You know, as Leonard was speaking, I just felt the Spirit of the Lord say revival was coming to America. You know, I know as Leonard got up here, he started to say, well, the military has been closed to us as bodies. And that breaks my heart. Because it just does. And a lot of the schools, the districts will not allow Bibles to be distributed. Now, some do, thank God. And things are closing. But I tell you what, the Spirit of the Lord said revival was coming to America like we've never seen before. Because you see, when the darkness rises up, God says in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit. And let me tell you, what they've tried to oppress and destroy the work of God, in the meantime, God will make it flourish and he will pour out his Spirit. And what they've tried to destroy, it will flourish. Like the church in China, the government has tried to destroy the church. And let me tell you, the church in China is the fastest growing church ever. They can't stop it. It may be all on the ground, but they can't stop it because of the Spirit of the Lord that has been poured out. And God has not forsaken America. Don't listen to all that junk. He's not forsaken America. He loves America. He loves the people. And revival's coming that people will be saved. The Spirit of the Lord will be moving upon people as they're in their homes and upon their jobs. And he's getting his people ready for it. He's getting his people ready for it. The great I Am, he's coming. And he's coming for his people. He's coming for you. But he's about to pour out his Spirit. And I tell you, I said, Lord, thank you. It's going to be a revival that goes beyond what Azusa Street was.
Amen.
That's great, huh?
Yes.
People, it's coming. We just need to keep praying, keep believing, and asking God to move. Asking God to move. Because we need people to get saved. Amen. Well, praise God, praise God. Oh, we had church already, huh? Amen. You know, I tell you, I love you guys. I just love it. It's a pleasure. Now, I tell you, sometimes I almost brought a chair up here just to sit in it, but, you know, I don't like that. I'd probably get up anyway, so. But I tell you, it's a pleasure to preach to you. It is. Because of your openness of your hearts and how you love God. And I appreciate you and thank God for you. Amen. Let's take our Bibles and make our declaration. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. And you know, Leonard, I was about to ask you, and I'm glad you brought up that country, China. I was about to say, are the Gideons in China yet? And but not yet. Not yet, but it's coming.
I know you get five on hand.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, there's ways. Amen. God can make ways. Amen. I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 3, please. Exodus chapter 3. Before I read the scriptures that I want to read in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, here we see Moses. Now, you know, we know Moses, you know, had some rough times, you know, as far as, you know, going out of maybe God's will and sometimes taking things in his own hands, you know, and we've all done that before, you know. God called Moses since he was a baby, before he was even born, basically, to be the great deliverer of the Jewish people, or the Israelites. God had called him. That was his mission upon the earth. And we know just the scenario of him being born and how he was taken care of and what happened with the, you know, the water and all that, Pharaoh's daughter. And that was just an amazing miracle, only by the hands of God. We know that. And it says that, you know, Moses, for being, you know, he was really high up in the Pharaoh's hierarchy. They had taken him in basically as a son. So he was basically almost in line to be Pharaoh, you know. But But, you know, he saw something happening, and he saw one of his fellow brethren being mistreated. And so he goes out there, and he kills the Egyptian soldier, and he does something amazing, which all the knowledge in all the world, he takes his body and he buries it in sand. We know that, you know, as the water comes and as the wind blows, the sand will go. And it was exposed, and all of a sudden everybody knew that it was Moses that had killed this Egyptian soldier and on the defense of his fellow brethren. And so they excommunicate him, which probably was the best thing ever for him, from Pharaoh, from the Egyptian place, or the Egyptian Imhar. And he has to go into a faraway land, and they just give him a little bit of water, a little bit of food, and say, go. Which, what they were saying was, walk to your death. Walk to your death. All he had was a staff in his hand, a little bit of food, a little bit of water, but they didn't realize he had his God too, which he probably didn't realize so much he had. And he started walking, and he came to a place after being destitute of food and water, but not destitute of God, because God had everything in control, which we need to realize that God has everything under control in our own personal lives. That God is in control of things, even when we feel that we've made a mess of things, or we feel that we're being destroyed, or we feel like God is not in control sometimes, that God is still in control of all things in our hearts and in our lives as we give it to Him. We are His children, and He takes care of His children. We are the apple of His eye, every one of us. He loves us with an everlasting love. It says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. Because of the love of God, he loves his children. He loves you with everything within him. He gave the best he could to bring redemption and help to the human race. And we know that, you know, he got to this place, and God supplied him with a wife and a child and all kinds of stuff. And all of a sudden, Moses probably thought all things were lost, you know, as far as being the redeemer, as far as delivering the people. And all of a sudden, one day, it says that there was a burning bush. And I know we've heard this story so many times, but we forget who he is, people. We need a burning bush experience, not so much the physical, but maybe a spiritual burning bush of a desire of God on the inside of us. And Moses went out that day, got up that morning just like every other day, went out that day tending his sheep, doing the things that he needed to do to take care of things. And all of a sudden it catches his eye because he sees the bush burning. But it never goes away. You know, when something burns, it just disintegrates. But it didn't. And so he kept on walking, and all, he looks again, look, something's not right. And he goes towards it. See, God is trying to get our attention through things, through circumstances, through maybe whatever's going on in our hearts and lives, to get our attention to look to him. And the Father looks at him through the burning bush. The voice that came forth was the Father. Say, Moses, you're standing on holy ground. That's it. And you know, today people would try to rake up all the sand and all the dirt and everything and say, this is all holy, which is ridiculous. Wherever you lie because it's the truth. They want a physical sign of something. Yeah. And the physical sign is having faith in Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross. Amen. And not all these things.
Amen.
And he says, you're standing on holy ground. What made it holy was the presence of God.
Amen.
Your house is holy when the presence of God is there. Look, when the presence of God comes into this place, everything is holy.
Amen.
Without the holiness, witness of the presence of God is just carpet. It's just seating. It's just woolen. Nothing else. And it says the Spirit of the Lord started to speak to him, and he takes off his shoes. And God gives him a command. He said, I want you to go and deliver my people. I've chosen you. Do you think Moses felt like he was chosen? I wonder, I wish, but you know, that's God, God knows what's. I wish they would have put the thoughts of Moses in there. Because it probably would have been the thoughts of all of us. Me? Lord, you sure? My name is Moses. And maybe would have named somebody else saying, I think you should have picked this other guy here. You know, or lady, or whoever. Because sometimes we think less of ourselves than what God thinks. But what God thinks of us is that we are the deliverers. We give forth the message of grace. We give forth the message of it's Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross and nothing else. And he takes on the command. But I want to read this scripture. Because he said, Lord, I'm going to go. But Lord, who do I tell them that you are? And this is what he says. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shall you say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shall you say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. It's an amazing thing that when Moses looks to the Father, he says, who do I tell them has sent me? I personally, if I was God, which we know we're not, none of us, we're not gods, we'll never be gods, we're not even close. Settle that quickly. But if I was God and my servant or my son asked me who I was, I wouldn't say I am. Personally, I would have said I'm Jehovah. You know, or I'm Elohim. Or I'm Adonai. Something that they knew about. But God chose, now that's an amazing statement, people. God chose to call himself to Moses to tell the people that is what I am is the I am. That there's nothing above me. That I am the top. There is nothing above. There's no God before me. I am the top notch. I am. And it says that Moses had to go in there and say, the great I am has sent me. Let me tell you this. God has called you to do certain things. It's the great I am that has called you that will give you the power and the authority and the help to accomplish what needs to be accomplished in your life and what he's called you to do. The great I am. It's him. That there's nothing too hard that God cannot solve. That God can give us great wisdom and understanding and power and authority and deliverance and help when we need it. The great I am. The great I am. After being commanded to go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt, Moses wanted to know who had sent him. And we know the verses that we just read. The great I am. The great I am. The name I am, or who I am in Hebrew, is the word Yahweh or Jehovah, if you want to put it that way. See, See, the Israelites knew those names, but God brought it down simple for them. The great I am. The great deliverer. It's an amazing thing as we look. I know we read through it like, oh, Exodus. It's an amazing thing that a man walks into the great powers, the greatest power on earth, by man. Walks in there with a little robe, basically, on and a staff, and says, let my people go. It's an amazing thing. That's why it took 10 plagues. Because they didn't believe. God will use, it says in Scripture, I think it's in Philippians or Ephesians 1 or 2, it says that he uses the simple things of the world, or the simple things of the world, to confound the wise. Simple. That doesn't mean that no education or no whatever. Just simple, simple things. God used one man to walk into a place and bring liberty to millions and millions of people. God's church is simple. It's just simple. With a simple message. Man has confused it. Man has said you have to do this, 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 and this to get to that. God says it's simple. Just faith in me. Just faith in the simple act of what Jesus did upon Calvary's cross to have freedom and liberty so the Holy Spirit could move at will within God's people. Jehovah Yahweh means self-existence, significance that God has no beginning and will never have an end. His name describes his fullness, his eternal existence, sovereignty, and unlimited power. I want you to turn to John chapter 8, verse 58. John 8:58. The great I am. John 8:58. I want to read this scripture to you. Jesus calls a great stir because of some words that he used. Because of some words that he used in his ministry. He said this to the religious people. He said this. Jesus said, and he's talking to who? The religious people. Verily, verily, I say it to you. When he says verily, verily, that's like us when we talk to our children and say, you understand, you understand? You got it, you got it. I mean, you're expressing it more than once, you know. Verily, verily, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Now, that's a very important statement. Before Abraham, because you see, the Jewish people or the Israelites considered Abraham their father. The father, their father. And here Jesus is coming. He's at least 30, 31, 32, 33 years of age in that ministry because he started at 30 and ended at 33. So it's between those years. So he's only been living about 30-something years. And he looks at these people and he says, you know, before Abraham was, I am. Man, these religious people looked at him and said, who do you think you are? You're not above our father. But what he was trying to let them know was that he is the great I am. We know God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're three different entities, but yet they're one. They're one with three different entities. Okay? Because it talks about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It talks about all three of them. But the expression of it comes from one being expressed in three different ways. Through the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he says, I am before Abraham. I was. The I am. So here we see in the Old Testament, the The Father tells Moses, I am. Then we go over to the New Testament and we see something extraordinary. That we see Jesus tell them, the religious people, I am. I say, well, is something wrong? No, nothing's wrong, because it says in Scripture that the Father and Jesus are one. We know that. They're the great I am. They're the ones that make all things possible. When things seem like it can't happen, God can make it happen because of who He is. See, we often think that for something to happen, as human beings, we have to do something. That, you know, I need to fast more, maybe. And we need to fast. I don't like to, honestly. I mean, who wants to stay away from crawfish etouffee, you know? Who wants to stay away from bluebell ice cream except today, you know? It's not working for a while, isn't it? But wait when it comes back. It's coming. They better stock up those places quickly.
Especially with milk.
But you see, God can move in any situation, anything, if we allow Him to. There's nothing that God cannot do. He's the great I am, people. What I want you to know is there's nothing that's impossible with God. God can heal relationships. God can heal marriages. God can bring a financial blessing in your life where you've been struggling with. God can give you a brand new job that you make more money than you ever made before. God can do the miraculous, because our faith is not in us. It's not in me. It's not in this church. It's not in you, but our faith is in Him and who He is, the great I am that brought deliverance to His people. That as we keep our faith in Him, God will move in areas that we never thought it was possible. Because you see, He'll build our faith to believe. He'll build our faith to believe. He'll build our faith to believe as we trust in Him and what He can do and who He is. Our God is a consuming fire. That means He never stops moving. As we have faith in Him, He moves. He moves. He moves. And we can't never stop Him or hinder Him. We got to keep our faith in Him and let God move in areas that we never thought was possible. Never thought was possible. That's the great God Jehovah, the great I am, people. Sometimes we think, Lord, I don't think this is possible. And we've all been there. I know. I've said, Lord, I know this is not possible. I just don't think so. I know. You've been there and I've been there. But we've all come through. We've all come through. And our faith has been built up in Him like never before. Like never before. Like never before. I'm excited about what God is doing in this place. I said, what is He doing? Well, there's some things on the farm that I know about. Get ready. Just get ready. I said, Pastor, what do you mean? Just get ready. Get ready. We need you. We need your money. I know you don't like to.
You sell the new computers to come in.
It takes money.
They don't have a charger.
You see, people only give.
Mm-hmm. I've seen that before.
Yeah,
I didn't notice that. Yeah.
It's true.
It's
true.
The newest MacBook Pro is a USB.
Yeah. You can trust this place. I'll be honest with you. I'm not trying to be a. Because I know you work hard, just like I work hard, to supply. throw money away. Because that's not right. Not right at all. It's not ours. That's right. That's right. Try to be very careful with the things that God gives us. Because you see, I know this. The more He can trust us, the more He'll give us. That's just like a child. You give them, you know, when they're, you know, 5 years old, you're not going to hand them $100 bill.
Well,
they might hear. You know, who knows? They don't know. You know, you give them a dollar or whatever, stuff like that, you know. But you know, the older they get, you give them more and more money, $20 or whatever. They just know the value of it. And that's God. The more He trusts us, the more He knows the value of it. And so He gives to get His work done. But you see, keep your faith in God, in the true great I am. And let me tell you, things might get hard a little bit here or there. You know, I know our country has made some wrong decisions. I know that. And I've addressed some things the last few weeks. I know they've made some bad decisions. I mean bad. I mean, let's face it, horrible decisions. I'm not a doomsday pastor. Never believed in that at all. Because like I said last week, I know more money comes out of America for the gospel's sake. And God will keep it running until He comes. He'll keep it running till He comes. He'll keep His people employed till He comes. He'll keep money flowing in till He comes. Because there's things that need to be bought and there are things that need to be paid for. And our God owns it all. So let me tell you this. Keep your eyes on the burning bush of the great I am. I know things on the news can get you kind of, your peace can go a little bit here or there. It disturbs you. I know it. It disturbs. Some things I hear is like, oh my God. But this is the thing. I want to show you something that will never disturb you as far as disturb your peace, but will give you peace. This thing. This thing. You can read all kind of books written by men, and that's what it is, written by men. And there's nothing wrong with that, I mean, to a certain extent. But it'll disturb your peace. I'm telling you. And anytime you start to have an inkling in your heart about, ooh, throw that stuff aside, you might even need to throw it away, I don't know. That's between you and God. And you get back to the book written by the hand of God. By the hand of God. And you start to read how He gives perfect peace to all those that trust in Him. You might say, well, will there ever be a day when we'll be able to buy food or this? I don't know. But today we can. Today we can. And Rubel, praise God, he needs to come back soon. They went to Candyland Cottage and they have only Bluebell ice cream, and they didn't have Blue. They had some other kind of ice cream. They were saying people weren't going because they don't have Bluebell anymore, you know. So I said, well, but honestly, we ate. I told Joanne, I said, this tastes the same. What kind of ice cream was it, Andrew? Do you remember?
I was there.
Oh, you didn't go. Okay. It was some kind of other stuff. Huh? The lady was saying earlier, you know, that was serving, she said a lot of people are coming because they said this, and I told Jelaine later, I said, that's all in their minds. It's all in their minds. You know. But there's a difference between sure fine ice cream. Now that's a difference, okay? That's a difference. There's a little difference there. But But I tell you what, this will keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. That's what it says. That's what it said. That's what it says. And look, you just get in it. Just read. Say, Lord, I thank you for your peace and your anointing. Because we don't know what's rising up on the other end, but I tell you what, revival is coming to America. Revival is coming. It's coming. People are going to be saved in motels because the Bible is going to be saved in churches. They're going to be saved all over the place. We're going to have people filled with the Holy Ghost like never before. People are going to be healed. The power of God is going to be shown. And I hate to say demonstrated, but that's okay. However the word you want to use it. But it's going to be, God's going to show that he is the great I am. The fire and burning of the bush of God that God showed Moses is going to come upon America. The fire. God's going to ignite you as a Christian, his people, to take up the cross of Calvary and say, the only way to salvation, the only way to the Father is Jesus. And to be able to stand strong and say, this is it. There's no other way but Jesus. There's no other way but Jesus. And as we stay in the Word of God, the peace of God, which transforms all situations in our lives, will be in us. You know how, you know, I wonder, you know, you wonder Paul, and I'm about to close here. It's only 11 o'clock. Praise God. I know y'all not hungry, huh? The Apostle Paul, all the things that man went through. I say apostle because he was an apostle. Not a disciple as far as the original 12 or not, none of that. He should have been, but he wasn't. We're all disciples of God. But I tell you, this man to be jailed, stoned, beaten, all kinds of stuff for the gospel's sake. To stand strong. You might say, well, I don't know if I'll be able to stand. Let me tell you this. When push comes to shove, and you're faced with whatever circumstances, the power of God comes, and you will stand.
Amen.
He doesn't give you what you don't need at the time. He gives you what you need at the time. That's our God. He gave Moses what he needed to walk into that place. The great I am has spoken. Let my people go. Gave them the message and walked out. Now, what he did with it, he refused. But look what happened in the end. He lost his son. He lost his son. And he lost his, most of his army. I mean, he lost a lot of people. I mean, just all kinds of stuff. You know, this day they said they have found chariots at the bottom of the Red Sea. Y'all, everything in this word is true. Everything is true. It's truth. You can rely upon this word. Now, if you would show me another book, I'd say, well, I don't know about that. But this word, you can. But guys, I appreciate you. I thank God for you. I love you. And I pray you have a great week this week. Would you please stand as we pray together?